As I read through this earlier this week, this last week, while Linda and I were away, several different thoughts struck me from it. And I know some of them I may have preached on before, but some of them seemed to strike me very differently this time. And so I tried to make all of those notes, get them all where by the time I got home I wouldn't forget them. And I'm going to endeavor, the Lord being willing and not changing my mind, to spend a few Sunday evenings looking through some things in the experience of Jonah and God's dealing with him. And as we read through the writings of the Old Testament, we read through the writings of the prophets, there are two things that stand out to me. Now, you may add other things to the list, but there's always two things that stand out to me, and it was especially true in the writings of this prophet. One of the things that always stands out is the absolute marvelous nature of the things that God does for His people. He does things in ways that we scratch our heads and think, well, can that really be real? How can He do that? How could that happen? God does miracles that they don't call them miracles because they could figure out how He did it. They're not illusions. They're absolute miracles. The other thing that struck me about especially the writing of Jonah, but it's true in many others of the Old Testament prophets, is that the things that I find in common with myself and these individuals that God's dealing with. One of the things, when God puts His people on display for us in the pages of Scripture, He doesn't gloss over anything. He doesn't hide their frailties. He doesn't cover their warts, so to speak. And that's where I find it's at those warts, it's in those frailties that I find myself most often in the pictures that are presented to me. And so these two things are true in what we're told in the prophet Jonah, the writing of the prophet Jonah. There are those marvelous things that God did. Of course, the best known one of all is the great fish that swallowed Jonah and kept him alive underwater for 3 days. And had that fish swim to a certain place and spit him out where he could go to the place that God had told him to go to start with. And that God made a gourd vine grow overnight big enough to cast a shade over Jonah. And then a single insect was able to kill it. And He made the whole capital of the Assyrian nation repent through the effect of the preaching of His word. And yet, when you look at all of the miracle things that He did, you find Jonah witnessing those things with a chip on his shoulder and an attitude toward God. And that's where I want to start tonight, in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And I would ask you a question: how often have you found yourself having an attitude with God? How often have you found yourself needing an attitude adjustment? Jonah had an attitude with God, and God adjusted his attitude. Read with me, if you would, Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Lord, help us to hear your word tonight. Help us to find in the instruction of your words the things that you know that we need. And Father, help us to see ourselves before you, to be thankful for your mercy, to be thankful for your kindness. And Father, to help us that when you convince us and you convict us that there are those attitudes that need adjustment in our lives, that we might turn our minds in obedience to you. Help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But Jonah rose up. And he rose up for a purpose. He rose up to flee unto Tarshish. But then the next part of it is the interesting part of the statement to me, because not only did he decide he was going to Tarshish, he was going to go from the presence of the Lord. So there's two things that I'll give you the brief phrases, and then we'll explore them. One phrase is, Jonah rose up. The other one is, God's still God. And you put those two together. Jonah rose up. He was given an instruction. Jonah, now as I understand, given the proximity, that he was in the land of Judah, or in the land of Canaan, he was in God's inheritance for his people. We're not told what city exactly he was in, but he was in the land that had been given to Israel, and he decided he didn't like what God told him to do. You go to Nineveh and you cry against that city. Now, Nineveh wasn't glossed over either. We said a while ago that God didn't gloss over the frailties of his people. He didn't excuse Nineveh at all. He told Jonah to go preach and to cry against the city. Crying against it was a conviction of their wickedness that had come up before God, and that they were accountable before God, and they were going to be judged by God. Well, instead of that job that God had given him, Jonah decided he had other ideas. Jonah rose up. I got to thinking about that passage. Well, he got up and he went and bought himself a ticket on a ship, and he got ready to make the trip. I'm going to tell you there was another way in which Jonah rose up. Jonah rose up in his mind against God. He rose up in his mind in resentment against God. He rose up in rebellion against God. He didn't just get up and pack his bags. He actually rebelled against what God told him to do. God said, you go down to Nineveh. Nineveh's over there. Jonah said, no, I'm going over there. Now, I understand from historical writings that Tarshish would be in the area that we know of today as Spain. So where Jonah was at the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea and given instruction to go further east, he packed his bags to go west. He rose up. Now I'm going to show you another passage of Scripture that Jonah says just a little bit later on as things unfold. And this says that there was something else going on. It wasn't just that Jonah didn't like the scenery in Nineveh. Linda and I were able to go up to St. Simon's Island this last week. It was very pretty scenery. Very pleasant circumstance. It's one thing to know, well, I'm going on a trip, and it's always going to be pretty when I get there. What I want you to see is that wasn't why Jonah didn't go. Look in Jonah chapter 4 and read verses 1 through 3 with me. This was after God had judged Jonah in the storm, prepared the fish to swallow him, keep him alive, bring him back, and send him on his way, and spare the city of Nineveh. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Okay, he got angry after what happened. But listen, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Isn't this what I told you would probably happen, and I didn't want it to happen? Therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Isn't this what I told you was going to happen? This is exactly what I knew was going to happen, and this ain't what I want to happen. You see, there's his attitude. His attitude was, I think this ought to be the case, and I knew you wasn't going to do it, so I didn't want any part of it. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. In our day of cultural upheaval that's going on, there's a great many people that's got an attitude problem. And that attitude problem is everybody's got their mind made up. Rather than saying, okay, God, what is it that you want to be the outcome of this? I don't want to be involved. I know what you may ask me to do. I don't want no part of it. I'm going over there away from you. I'm going from the presence of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, I've been in Jonah's boots too many times. I've been the one that said, yeah, God, I know what you're looking at, and I know what you're probably going to want to do, and I'm not sure I want to be involved in it. I'm going to go far enough away that you ain't going to care to come find me. Well, you see, there's Jonah's attitude. But here's the second point. God's still God. Jonah said, I'm going over there, and guess what? Not only was God still God in Tarshish, God was God on the road to get there as well. You see, folks, that's the second thing that I want to remind you about today. God's God everywhere. When we raise up our attitude and say, no, God, I'm going to do it my way, we're going to find out, most of the time, rather unpleasantly so, that God's still God. God didn't forget where Tarshish was. God didn't forget how Jonah planned to get to Tarshish. And God didn't change his mind about what he wanted Jonah to do. Jonah lost his money. You ever bought a ticket on a train or a boat or an airplane and had something come up and you began to question whether or not you were going to get to go, and one of the first things that crosses our mind is, well, if I don't go, I'm going to lose my money. Jonah lost his money. He got on the boat. Folks, when we make an investment to try to run away from God, we're going to lose our money. God in His mercy stopped Jonah from losing his life. But lessons in rebellion are hard lessons. And they're expensive lessons. Jonah got up to go from the presence of the Lord. You know the story, and we'll talk about that in some of the other messages, but you know the story that Jonah got on the ship, got out in the water, and a storm came up. But the thing that I want you to notice is, as you look at this passage, verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. I don't think I put it in there, but it says in verse 4, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Now, it didn't just spin up like a hurricane, like a tropical depression. There was no weather channel to chart it. And it didn't just develop into a depression and then into a storm. God sent the wind. God is the God of the wind, the same as He is the God of Judah. He sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. God sent. Jonah was going to get away from God, and God showed Jonah, I'm God over there, I'm God over here, and I'm God all along the way. Now look with me at Psalm 139 just a moment. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Jonah rose up. He rose up with an attitude toward God, and God says, okay, but I'm still God. Psalm 139, beginning at verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? What was it Jonah was going to do? He rose up to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And David asked the question, where can I go away from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea. I'm going to Tarshish at the far end of the Mediterranean Sea. If I go to the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. That passage of Scripture says God is going to be there when we get there. That passage says everywhere along the way, God will have His hand upon us. That's a marvelous statement for us to contemplate when we think, you know, life's tough, but God's always got me in His hand. But it's just as true when we want to get away from God. God's always got His hand on our lives. God's still God. And our attitude to go from the presence of the Lord will never succeed. If I go to the uttermost part of the sea, he got out into the uttermost part of the sea, and God prepared a great wind. The purpose of the wind was to make Jonah confess his own rebellion. If you look in the latter part of that first chapter, all of these sailors were praying to their gods. We're not told who those gods were, but it was obvious that they weren't the God of Israel. Their prayers were having no effect. And they find Jonah was asleep. Jonah's kind of hard-hearted. Jonah could lay down in the middle of a storm, knowing he was running away from God, and go to sleep like there was nothing wrong. The great wind brought Jonah face to face with his rebellion. You see, God's hand upon us is not just to break us. It is to turn us. It is to make us recognize His place as God in our life. And he told the men, he said, throw me out in the water. I'm running from God. I'm the cause of this problem. What can we do? Throw me in the water. No, we don't want to do that. What else can we do? Throw me in the water. Well, okay. this God of Jonah, this is what he tells us. We don't want to do it. This is what he's telling us to do. Don't hold it against us now. Splash.
And the wind quit. And then at the end of that first chapter, we find these words. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jesus said it was a whale. That 3 days and three nights is a whole other preaching text, but it says that Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, that the Son of Man would be in the earth 3 days and three nights. But here's a great fish. Fish large enough to swallow Jonah, take him into his body, keep him there, and God preserved him. He wasn't digested. He wasn't broken. He wasn't drowned. And the beginning of verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Oh, I ran to get away from him. But in the very place I ran away, he upset my plans. When he upset my plans, I cried in my affliction, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. You see, brothers and sisters, thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows, notice this, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. This wasn't just the waves, it wasn't just the billows. Jonah was brought face to face with the reality that they were God's billows. That was God's storm. And it was to turn Jonah. Jonah came face to face with the reality that God was still God. God's God in Jerusalem. God's God on a boat. God's God in Spain. God's God in Nineveh. Now, we can bring that around in our lives. God's God in Jacksonville. God's God on the roads. God's God in our destination. God's God in the one place we don't want to go. He's still God. One of two things can happen. We can rise up like Jonah rose up. I know what's going to happen. I don't want no part of it. Didn't I tell you that was what was going to happen? Or we can say, yes, God. And folks, when we look at this, we get caught up. There's a great marvel of the fish. There's a great marvel of deliverance. And then when he gets to the end of chapter 2, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited him out upon the dry land. Brother Ray, you got a bunch of fish in your pond. Do they listen to you and do what you want them to when you talk to them? But yet here was God's fish. And God said, okay, time's up. Put him out. You got a job to do. Just the very idea of that makes us scratch our heads. How can God do something like that? And yet he's still God. We can say, no, God. Or I can say, yes, God. I can rise up, or I can obey. I find a lot of myself in Jonah. What about you? Jonah rose up to go to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Boy, did he get a surprise. But I'm going to tell you something. God, who was still there, God who was going to be merciful, God that Jonah understood would be merciful to Nineveh,
was still merciful to Jonah. God, in His dealings with our lives, in our attitudes, is still a God of mercy. May we cry to Him, knowing that He will hear our voice. Lord and Father in heaven, we thank You tonight for the records that are given to us in Your Scriptures. These are not stories. These are actual facts. These are not fiction. These are the record of Your hand and Your word in the lives of Your people. This was Your servant. You directed his path. So like we, Father, when You direct our path and we choose another, You're still merciful in our lives, but You won't let us go. Thank You, Father, for that promise. Help us to understand that You are God everywhere. We can't run away from You. But when our path takes us to a far place, You are still there. Help us to rejoice in that fact. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.